Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back and better than ever. We are recording this on August 13th, nearly a week after the Lions' first preseason game, but there's a lot that's happened in between then. There's lots to talk about. Injury updates, the first preseason game, some reactions, and some battles still ongoing. And even some comments from the coaches about some of those battles and what that all means for the upcoming season. But before we get into all that, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Rud Dog.
Yo.
And UJ.
May the force be with you.
You do look a little like the Emperor there, UJ.
This is a podcast, UJ. They don't know what you look like.
If you're listening to us on, if you're watwatching us on YouTube at DTBK_Lions, first of all, subscribe. Second of all, you can see UJ here, and he's got like a towel over his head, black towel. That's because he loves the black colors. That's because he's a supporter of the Lions' black uniforms.
Oh, snap.
That was a low
shot. Shots fired. Shots fired.
This is a low blow, Big Z.
This is a red alert, y'all.
Well, all right. Let me get into some of the news here, and we can react to it. So, first of all, is some injuries, some key injuries possibly affecting the Lions' season opener and beyond. Now, Terron Arnold and Rakestraw both with injuries, but Arnold with a pec. Rakestraw with an ankle, but it seems like both will be okay, according to Rakestraw's own Instagram live. So you guys have no concern about those guys, right? Going at least health-wise?
No, not really. So they're being extra safe with these guys. You know, they're getting much hitting as they can. They're going to be extra safe. I'm not too worried. The only one that really concerns me is Gibbs, just because it's a hammy, and those things can be nagging. So
I'm not worried about Gibbs. He's going to be fine.
It was nagging him last year. Red Dog, you seem to think it's perfectly fine. There's no concern whatsoever about his hamstring, even though he missed games with it last year. I would be more concerned. Yeah. The hamstrings don't go away. This is not like something that you just fix in a week or two and it just goes away. I mean, our producer, Gajay, the Rams fan that he is, can attest to what Cooper Kupp went through last year. It could be a season-long thing. So I hope they really take it easy with him, even if he hasn't missed a couple games to start the year. Whatever it takes to get him fully healthy. I don't want him to miss games, obviously, but the Lions are more than capable.
I'm sure they're going to definitely shut him down for preseason, at least. Try to get him ready for game one. He doesn't need all the practice reps like some of these guys.
You know, it's fascinating, the science behind pulled hamstrings, because a lot of, at least lately, the NFL, like, the sports science people have found like a lot of these athletes have stronger legs than the other one, and it affects their hamstrings because they're exerting more force with one than the other. I found out like Christian Watson, who the Packers wide receiver, He found out in the offseason that his leg was his right leg or his left, I can't remember which one, was 20% stronger than the other one.
20%? Holy.
Yeah. So he spent the whole offseason getting more equilibrium, and now he got it down like 6%. Apparently, it's well within the range of a more healthy hamstring going forward. I don't know. I thought it was all interesting. I don't know all the science behind it, but it's crazy that they measure that stuff now.
Yeah.
To maybe rectify those hamstring injuries, because they could be, like I said, nagging long term. So I hope maybe that's what gives the problem is. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's not like the old days. I mean, rub a little dirt on it, you know?
That's right. Now we rub a little science and math on it. Anyways, let's hope Gibbs is all right. We definitely need him, and we just want to see him play because we love watching him play so much. I want him out there as much as possible.
He can have Miami. I don't use it that much anymore. Yeah, mine.
Zach, you can be concerned for all of us. I'm good.
He'd be real fast on one side and real slow on the other.
Still, so
yeah, you're always never.
I'm just worried about him. I'm always worried about him, even though the Giants are scared of him. Like,
Big Z has a secret society dedicated to watching out for Penei Sewell's best interest because he's always worried.
I can't remember if it was, I think it was Thibodeau or Burns. I can't remember. One of the two DNs on the Giants in his press conference said that he's not scared of a lot of things. Like, he's not scared of the dark or, you know, spiders or whatever. But he said he's Penei Sewell scares him. I thought it was a really funny quote from him. I believe it was
Thibodeau because they have the background at Oregon together too.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought it was Thibodeau. I wasn't 100%, but I thought that was a funny comment.
That was funny because you know, he probably was getting bullied by him back at Oregon too.
Oh, but yeah, I've completely, that connection just went over my head. I did not make that in my mind. But nonetheless,
bad man. Well, like, you saw Sewell during the summer fights. There was like 10 dudes, and he's just like one on
five. Right.
I'll take you all on. And they all look super tiny with those silly little puffy helmet things that makes them look like toddlers running around throwing punches at each other. Have you guys noticed that? Like, watching the footage, it looks so silly because those helmets really make their heads look huge, and it just makes everything look smaller. Yeah.
And who is that? Kirby Joseph in that one fight? Is that Kirby? He needs some boxing lessons, man. He telegraphed his punches so bad. It was just embarrassing.
Yeah. Right. I mean, speaking of the Giants and Lions, since we had our last podcast, the Lions played their first preseason game. So I just want to get some of our reactions and some of the ups and downs of that whole game. Now, I must say, the game itself, not a great watch. It was kind of a tough watch.
Pretty brutal.
I mean, the preseason as a whole is pretty a brutal watch. It's just not even close to the regular season in terms of the play on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just running very vanilla offenses. You don't see anybody out there, at least. But there's some rookies, some end of the roster guys are trying to make it. We can just go around and maybe say one thing that stood out and then touch on a couple other things if we missed it. But UJ, I'll start with you. What really stood out to you in the preseason game, good or bad? Whip it in.
I'm just going to whip in a couple things here. I'll be real quick, though. Roderick Martin, I thought he looked really good. Patrick Hess, a tight end, looked somewhat impressive as a big old tight end. Graded out well in that game, too, apparently. Sudfeld is awful.
It was a rough
terrible.
One out there.
Really bad, and he's so bad. Aside from that, there weren't a ton of guys that stood out.
Remember when he said one guy?
I did.
No, that Lynn guy.
You're going through the whole game by yourself right now.
I said, anyway, okay. The biggest thing to me was Broderick Martin. I thought he looked like a man among boys at times. And
it was like your eighth thing. Yeah, Broderick Martin's my first one, so I'm just gonna jump in here because.
Yeah, talk about what did you see out of him that you liked? That we
sack, baby. I mean, the dude got right into the backfield on a nice move and got a freaking clean sack in a preseason game. This is a guy everyone thinks is like just gonna be like a run stuffer, but with his physical size and everything, the way he's training, like if he can really continue to just hone that technique. I think like he probably will be one of the biggest winners from I keep forgetting his name, but our new D-line coach. Like you can see it paying off, and he looked like, I mean, he looked like a force out there, and so did Mekhi Wingo. He looked really good. I watched someone did a breakdown on him, and he's just looks so, he looks faster than everyone else out there. Like he's the quickest mover on that defensive line when he was out there. Granted, it's all twos or whatever, but hey, I mean, he his speed looked good on the edge. And then Sione Vaki, that'll be my third one. I'll let you go, Z. But that Vaki, actually, like I can still see us having a nice attack out of the backfield, even if Gibbs is tabled for a bit.
You made fun of UJ for not sticking with one. You must three yourself and stole one of mine. Vaki.
Oh, my bad. You're right. See, this is what happens, though. It started because of you, Domino.
I thought Sione Vaki, especially on a couple of runs, showed really good vision, good patience, reading blocks in the open field, a nice vertical agility, if you will. The ability, like, if the blocker in front of him is moving to his left, to kind of read it, bounce off it, go to the right, and move forward, not side to side, but moving north and south, even when he's making moves side to side, if you will. I just thought he had really good vision. I really like seeing him.
Yeah.
Now, the other Isaiah Williams, I thought, stepped up as far as receiver go. Now, there wasn't a lot to love out of the receivers in this game.
Not,
I don't know.
To be fair, who was throwing to him?
Yes.
I mean, or freaking Hooker. Like, no one was really slinging it for us at all that day.
Yes, but at least Hooker can run. At least Hooker can run.
And that was
Hooker
nice.
And now he's a concussion. Yeah, so.
I know.
They forgot to teach him how
to
slide.
It was fun to see him break the tackle, though.
They forgot to teach him first down.
Another one. Yeah, that was fun. At least
it was nice.
It's in there.
Yeah.
I mean, he also just looked calmer and more confident in the pocket. Yeah. Like, maybe it's because of his escapability, but, like, he just had an energy about him that Sudfeld just completely and utterly lacked. He looked like a dead stone out there in the backfield who couldn't find, you know, shit. Like, he was brutal. That was painful performance. It was bad watching him. It was like, that hurt me. I wish I could have back. It was so bad. Like, that was awful. Sudfeld, I don't know. Like, I'm thinking he's that guy that you just keep around to create, like, faux quarterback battles in camp and stuff. But really, he's more like a locker room guy in camp and practice when no one's touching him. There's no real pressure. He can deliver the ball well enough for the scout team. Like, there needs to be an upgrade there. I don't even know if he's worth it as a third quarterback in this league. Like, I think you could, like, this Fromm coming in could be a nice upgrade there. Not that he's great, but he should at least be an upgrade over Sudfeld potentially. But I don't know. Maybe the relationship's too deep at this point. Hard to say. Either way, I'm hoping he has a rebound game this week because, like, I've talked bad about him because he earned it, but, like, everyone's just trashing him. I hope he comes in and just, like, lights up the game next week.
Yeah, it wasn't great on the other side either. The weather wasn't great.
They look much better, though. Stretch, anyway.
I'm not trying to make a season. I'm just trying to think of why the performance was so bad.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the O-line was crap. Our depth units are not good as units. Like, there might be good play from individuals, but we do not have complete, like, second line quality.
Yeah, Connor Galvin looks like he's out for the year. That was a backup tackle fighting for a spot. That was
Sorsdol, who's been supposedly leading the way, looked not good.
Yeah, Manu played half the snaps out there.
Didn't look great.
Nope, he's got a lot. He's got a lot of work.
Manu's the one who has the most forgiveness, though, like those guys, because he's the project. Sorsdal had his project year. That was last year. He needs to show he's grown, because he can't be doing that and be on the roster come game time.
For sure. Although I think Sorsdal is more of a backup guard than a tackle.
No, they've been tackle this year. I mean, his build is more tackle.
He's been working
mostly six,
just
but,
I think he might still be 1 year away from locking up the backup tackle spot is all I'm saying.
Well, the way he's playing right now after that game, I would say you might be right, because that was not good.
I've heard there's some word that Mahogany might be coming back soon. But
yeah.
He's missed a lot of reps, so he's way behind.
Game. I'm hoping he'll pick it up quick.
But
Another note on Parker Hesse, though,
UJ,
he's gotten a lot of praise from Campbell and the coaching staff. He was the first tight end out there against the Giants. I think that says something. And he also had the most special team snaps of any tight end. So
what do you think, TE3?
It might be.
Well, ooh, he could be TE4.
You think Zostra's got it?
The guy I don't have the confidence in is
Mitchell.
I've
heard nothing good about him.
He hasn't proved anything.
Zylstra maybe, but not a I wouldn't.
And I see Zylstra, and I think Hess got an outside shot. He's a
I don't know. He might have
man.
More than an outside
He's a big,
shot.
Strong guy. Blocking.
I like Zylstra too as like a little like quick receiving tight end. He's not like how is he as a blocker? I don't have much of an impression as a blocker because he's not the biggest dude. How big is he now? In my head, he's not huge tight end. He's more like Laporta, but maybe even smaller.
Like 5'9",
170. I'm trying to see what people are predicting for him at tight end, but I'm not finding it right now. But that's okay.
He's 6'4". Wow.
Well, that's my outside shot guy at making the team.
You think Zylstra's like in already?
No, but Hess or whatever. I like Zylstra. I liked him last year. He did some good things in the actual regular season.
Do we have
Parker Hesse, by the way, hasn't done anything since he came to the team. 6'3", 250.
Did we have Zylstra?
This is his third year in the league, by the way. Third year.
Okay.
What did he do? I didn't think he really made – I thought he got hurt last year.
He did get hurt.
Like, early.
Yes,
he doesn't have any stats last year.
I mean, he's a blocking tight end.
Oh, I think you might be thinking of the preseason, UJ. Last year for Zylstra.
Anyways.
Well, maybe.
I like Zylstra. He's looked good.
He looked good out
preseason.
There in that game. That's all I'm saying.
To crack that lineup consistently. This could be the year. I'd love to see it.
I think Malik Jefferson might have an outside chance at linebacker to make this roster. Now, the Lions only had him a couple weeks ago, but he played half the snaps out there in the preseason game
Who?
Already. Malik Jefferson, the linebacker. The Lions signed a veteran. He's a veteran linebacker. A former third-round pick.
You know what this game showed me above maybe anything else is just how hard it is to keep track of the just sheer amount of fodder they add to these off-season rosters.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, my God. I didn't know who half these people were out there on this game. And I thought I kept a decently close look on this stuff, but oh, yeah. My goodness. Like, when did we get, what's his name? Ben Neiman? Is that his name? The other linebacker, 51. He was playing pretty good. The white boy.
Neiman?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Neiman was, I believe, an undrafted
where did he...
free agent last year. He was the D2 guy, but super athletic. They've definitely had him. We discussed him on this podcast. Yeah. He definitely did not come out of nowhere. Now, he has an outside chance of making it, but he'd have to really step up.
He came from the Chiefs. He's 29. What are you talking about?
Ben Neiman, who am I thinking of? I guess this kind of proves your point.
Wait, we might be talking about. There was number 51 out there. I thought it was Neiman. Oh no, it is him. He's on the line. So hard to keep track of this stuff.
Oh yeah, who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Okay.
Mitchell Gude. I didn't know who Deron Gilbert was until I found out he was injured and not playing for us this year.
Yeah, he was playing pretty good too.
That's what I heard.
So
sucks.
It was a tough loss.
I mean, it's a tough roster to crack. He was probably a long shot to begin with, but
yep. Okay, so there's another veteran that's going to step up and probably take DJ Reader's place early in the season. It's a guy by the name of Kyle Pecco, another journeyman lineman or Pico.
I'm not sure he's going to take Reader's place. Because
I meant just while Reader probably is going to go on the physically unable to perform list to start the year, which means you have the first four games.
You mean just like his like roster
Pico's
spot?
Take a spot? Correct.
I don't know. Right now, I guess, because like, who do you think is the top? I can see our top five D tackles are like Ali McNeil, Broderick Martin, in no particular order, Levi Onwuzurike, Mekki Wingo, and DJ Reader. That's five interior linemen right there. That I think we could potentially roll with being our interior.
Yep.
And then Pecco would just hold Reader's spot until he comes back, unless depending on how everyone plays.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, cool. Because I'm excited about how all our D linemen are looking, especially these second rounders. Granted, actually, who's had a really quiet offseason is Josh Pascal, but he's also never getting said anything bad about, so it's hard to say. I think he's going to, it's like, I think he's going to have a good season, but maybe he's just going to be the guy who shows up to game time. Was he in that game?
Yeah. Well, that's you're right, though. He's not jumping out. No, I don't think he played in that game.
Well, speaking of the,
yeah,
I'm saying though that shows he might be a starter though. He's just doing it quietly in camp so far.
Yes, I mean, speaking of the D line, there's a guy named maybe our listeners don't know him, but Isaac Ukwu, the D end who's been filling in especially with James Houston and Nate Lynn out with injuries. But he's kind of an unexpected possibility to make the roster. And at least prior to Detroit, they have 70% out of their 10 experts having him on the roster right now. You know who they don't have? Matthew Betts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He barely even got in the preseason game.
Yeah, there's not a single person in.
Not like what
Luke who did look good in that game. He was one of the guys getting like consistent like sort of pressure at least. And he always was active at the line. I liked how he looked.
Yeah, him and Wingo both got praise from Campbell after the game. So, and it's notable. Usually Campbell, if he praises somebody, that means he really
and
likes
him. He's an edge? Yeah, DE.
Yes.
I'm curious because they're downgrading Houston back to primarily edge. We're not downgrading, but moving him back, taking a lot off his plate. I have a feeling that linebacker time.
Were they moving him? Were they trying to get him to be more than what
no,
he is?
No, they've been making him. He's been repping as
an outball linebacker.
The oh my gosh, what is it called? Not the Mike linebacker, the Sam. He's been repping in the Sam position behind Derek Barnes all camp. I think they're planning on making that more of an attacking position. Like I think that's going to be a rush linebacker a lot of the time. Barnes or
that
or
makes more sense.
Or Houston, but I think even then, with that much on his plate, Houston might have been struggling a little bit, and they're trying to get him back into like Campbell came out and said he's going to be either setting an edge or rushing the quarterback. So they're taking everything off his plate and letting him become, you know, focus on his specialty. Which I don't know if that's a good or bad. It's hard to say at this point. I guess as long as he keeps doing good at his specialty. It's what worked at.
I think it's good right now to
college.
Just simplify it for him. Don't do the one thing he does well. Remember what happened to Devin Hester when they tried to make him a receiver? That didn't pan out.
And that's what who was it?
It was what he does best,
Showtime or Primetime. That's what he did to him in college to make him explode was take that linebacker duties off and let him just get after the quarterback. So I like it. I think he makes the roster just because of his upside and explosiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really good at one thing, just stick to that. It's better than being mediocre.
Though the linebacker time should only help him there, too. Like,
not,
he'll have more perspective and stuff. And it might even all click later on as he gets more comfortable. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Campbell is a big on not having
one-trick
ponies out there. Have versatile guys that can do multiple things. So.
Absolutely.
I mean,
there's always exceptions to every rule, though,
you
know?
The pass rush like we've seen him do is so valuable in this league that I think you can forgive some of the other things. Like, he's a horrible against the run. Like, it is pretty awful. He gets his ass beat on run pretty good, typically. Maybe he's improved on that.
That's why I think they wanted him as a Sam more, because it would make him a little easier to place on the field without being a liability.
True.
But
well, I'll tell you somebody whose stock is going up. His name is Jake Bates, the kicker.
I was waiting for this one.
Outdoors.
That was good.
Would have been good from 65.
He was a great kick. And it looks like the Lions are going to give him as much of a leash as possible to prove himself to make this roster. Because it's rare leg strength that he possesses. Let's see how he handles the kickoffs. because that's a unique aspect of this season. And then let's see if he keep making field goals. It seems like he's been improving in the last couple weeks, in practice as well. So I'm hopeful that he will stay. And again, the Lions are playing 14 of their 17 games this year.
Yeah, me too.
In a dome. So, and the Super Bowl is in a dome this year. There's a lot of positives.
I got to make an admission here too. You know, on the pod, a couple of us mocked the thicker kicker in our draft,
and we haven't resigned him.
He's already been cut by the NFL team that took him. So
I was not one of those people.
Yes. So there you go. No, you were not, but I was one of them. I was. I think Bob was too. But anyway.
I like Bates. So I like the upside of his leg, the potential. So, as long as he keeps honing in on that consistency, he seems to perform big time games and stuff. So that's a good thing,
right? Just hold like people that are important to him in his life hostage, like or something, like just make it like an important kick every time, even during practice.
Yeah. He said he owns a hotel, but no one goes to it.
The Bates, the Bates Motel. Motel. I don't even know what that show's about.
It's from Psycho.
Oh god, that was really bad.
Oh,
Psycho.
A mother's love.
Well, there's a more recent modern show called Bates Motel. I thought that's what you're referencing, which I guess is probably based off that movie. I mean, we're
I would think so.
So Jake Bates, his stock seemingly is going up.
Yeah.
Did I miss anybody else notable from the
Brandon Joseph?
Oh, well, this gets into
Brandon Joseph had a nice game, interception in coverage.
Yeah.
Dude, Amik's going to be on the field a lot. Amik Robertson, year, especially with all these big guys getting banged up. Like, I just think he's going to be the one out there who just. He's going to be hard to take off the field because he just seems like he's going to be so damn feisty. And that nickel position, I think he'll be able to do a little bit of damage too.
Yeah. I just see one thing I noticed about that game is not any one guy in particular, but the secondary seemed a lot stickier than in the past. You know what I mean? Like they were just with guys a lot more and just have that feeling, you know, like, if they can stick with our receivers for that extra second or two,
when you had regular season, Arnold, Robertson, and Rakestraw in there, it was sticky. It was hard. They couldn't get much going at all. It wasn't until like the third stringers came in that we just started getting picked apart a little bit. But yeah, no, that looked fair. And that's why, to go back to the thing earlier about the injuries, like a little bang up injuries at this point are no big deal. Like, you know, they're to be expected, and like, I think the young guys showed enough to where they can feel kind of confident that they'd rather have them their growing pains more in the regular season than like risk them more in the preseason. You know, I think they'll be extra careful with Rakestraw and Arnold because they've already shown, I think, a certain level of just ability that you don't need to, you know what I mean? They almost sort of seem like veterans.
For sure. Now, there's one other thing I want to bring up about this game and just what's going on or what's being said by the coaching staff in general. The third wide receiver spot.
I'm calling it fourth.
Fourth wide receiver spot.
Fourth. Yeah. Let's
the see. Coaching staff is not.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Overly optimistic about what's going on with it right now. I mean, people thought Doherty's Fountain had a leg on it, but everything the coaching staff has been saying is like, not the case.
I'm not sure. I think they're just...
There's no ringing endorsements about the fourth wide receiver spot. Even...
No, I was just...
No.
I'm trying to...
None.
Go ahead. Run, dog.
There's definitely... They're trying to light a fire. And getting rid of Antoine Green was kind of a little bit of a shock move. I think he was the weakest link. But I'm not so sure they're displeased entirely with Fountain. Or, like, because the only guy they complimented was Peoples-Jones, that he's, like, picked it up since the game. I just think that was, like, a little bit of, like, a calculated move right there to, like, light a fire in that group. So, I think, yes, it doesn't show that they're thrilled with any one, I think there's also a bit of a race on right now between several candidates who look, you know, all could potentially be that. And they feel so confident it'll come from.
This is the quote. This is the quote from Campbell on Monday evening. We're waiting for somebody to step forward. We're waiting for any one of those guys to step forward. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I feel like, has been, since the game, much better. He's playing faster, and I notice it. We all notice it. So that's encouraging. Doherty's Fountain and Traquan Smith and Caden Davis were dying for somebody to step up and say, hey, man, I'm the guy. I'm the guy you can depend on. I'll be the same consistent player every day and find a way to make plays that come my way. So he named ball by name and put them in different categories. But at least by that quote, Dr. Peoples-Jones.
Yeah,
I think he has a leg up.
And he's also probably the most athletic.
Athletic and experienced. He's the only one who's actually, like, proven it for a season at least.
Yeah, and they traded for him, so they have a little extra motivation to.
It
sounds like they needed to light a fire under his ass.
You know that
it's possible.
True.
That fourth receiver might not even be on the team yet. So when teams start their cuts and all that, I could see some decent receivers getting let go.
And Ben Johnson also said they prefer to have a big-bodied receiver at the.
I mean, it's the Reynolds role. I thought so. I guess it sounds like they want two outside guys, like another guy opposite of J-Mo on the outside, so that they can keep, St. Brown in the slot type thing. Exactly what they did with Reynolds last year.
Yeah.
And you prefer those bigger bodies on the perimeter.
Well, it seems like they're giving Donovan Peoples-Jones every opportunity to make the roster. So it's on him to step up and perform here.
It sounds like the message kind of was delivered after the game, because it sounds like he's already had the fire lit.
Right.
Sometimes it makes you wonder what you have to do to light a fire under some of these guys, you know? Like, they got everything to play for. I mean, they got golden opportunity here, and these guys, and yet they're not, I don't know. Is it they're not capable? They don't know how to yet. They're too young. They're just figuring it out.
Arduous and
they're
long thing, you know. Like,
just curious to me.
You're not necessarily at your best in camp. Like it could just be the malaise. It could be whatever. I mean, they're all working hard. It sounds like it's just a matter of putting everything together.
I'm not saying they're not working hard. I'm just saying, I think you should make that next level, thing, that jump, you know? It's to just a like matter a starting role or that fourth receiver
keeping
role.
Keeping that hyper focus and attention. Like if it slips even a little bit, if you fall into repetition and routine and let it, you know, pull your mind off the objective. Of, like, did you guys see? Oh my God! Did you guys see that mic'd up Khalif Raymond at practice? It's so sick. It's like they're sitting by like the running back drill where they run through the gauntlet of like the thing with the corral with the little pad sticking out and everything.
Yep.
And he's like, "Ah, look at that. We're just like repping through it. See that? Like, you gotta be intentional." He's like saying like these coaches out need to step up too. And then he just goes through. And he's like growling. It's like just that killer edge for every single rep. And I'm just like, oh, man, that boy's going to ball out this year. It's badass. But that's that mentality. It's like you let that slip,
like that.
And you could still be busting your ass. But, like, you know, you're just not putting out the product, you know. And Peoples-Jones is a veteran. I honestly think a lot of people are making or we're expecting to see big things from him earlier in camp. But it also could just be like a pacing thing. Who knows? Like I think he still does have the inside track just off of, like Z said, athleticism and then experience. I think they want him to be the guy because of his upside.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else notable from this game?
O-line, we did.
Yeah, kind of Galvin out. Okay. Gone for the season.
Yeah, bad football.
the preseason games boredom. They're Golden Tate was announced.
4 minutes ago. I lasted until four minutes left in the game.
They did some
good to see him on there.
Yeah.
Videos of him and stuff on the board.
I love Tate.
Tate was awesome. Tate. He was one of the best, like after Megatron, he might have been the best receiver of my lifetime. Who else? I mean, he was sick for us though.
Well, I'm
saying before this team.
You were good.
Yeah. Oh. No, I'm on Roz.
Yeah, I guess so. Do I have anything else about the preseason game? No, those are all my notes that I had about the game.
And if you're worried about Gibbs going down, go watch the video at camp when Montgomery just trucks Brian Branch into the end zone. It's dope. Looks like a beast.
All right. I will say that other little notable things. Sean McVay on the Barstool podcast said that last year the Lions for the playoff game, the home crowd was the loudest he's ever played in by a wide margin. he's comparing it to New Orleans in the NFC Championship.
He knows he's got to meet
New Orleans is notorious for a loud, wild atmosphere, and it didn't.
He gained a little respect for that.
He knows he's got to play.
I personally like Sean.
I've forgiven him for what he did to the
Brain Cycle interviews. Well, I definitely forgive him.
I know.
He gave us Goff.
Like it's so. Still like you still see it though. I still think so much of the Goff perception is based on the nonsense that he spread when Goff was under him at that end there. Like. People still think Goff isn't like this first round quarterback with top end talent. Like he is very much like this dude is an elite pocket passer and oh my God, with the weapons he's going to have this year. Oh.
Well, let's just win a Super Bowl.
We'll do it,
and
baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of Lions sitting out to practice. That's nothing. Too new to sign. Now, Jake Fromm, the former you did mention it briefly, Red Dog, but the Lions do sign Jake Fromm to come in. Jake Fromm is the former quarterback.
Georgia.
Former Georgia quarterback. If you're on YouTube, you see me swatting this little bug flying around.
He was good there.
Yeah, he's only appeared in the preseason for the Giants in 2021. So he's a preseason MVP, if you will. His preseason career, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 260 yards. Also played with the Commanders for a little bit.
Sounds better than Sudfeld.
So I don't know how much competition he'll provide, but hey, Colin Kaepernick's still out there.
Hey, how do you guys feel? If, oh, geez, Kaepernick?
I just funny people still bring him up. Now he's been out of the league for like 7 years. Or
Anyone who thinks he's got it left at this point is dreaming. I don't. Not even just whoever you are. If you're out that long, do you guys right now, like with Hooker and Sudfeld, do you think it's an obvious order of who the backup is? Unless it changes,
I don't think the Lions are
obvious.
I don't think the Lions want Hooker out there if they don't have to.
I mean, well, obviously,
I still think they'd like to have him as the backup.
I think next year they want him as the backup.
He'd be a lot more dynamic than Sudfeld.
And they need to get someone better. And Fromm might be the choice. I mean, Fromm might.
You're talking about putting the season on the shoulders of Hendon Hooker. I'd be concerned personally. I'd be extremely.
I think in another month he's going to be a whole new different quarterback. By the time he hits regular season, he's much more polished. If he can stay healthy.
The backup quarterback is concerning, but also like the entire starting offense is not out there with Sudfeld, so it's hard to fully assess him, to be honest. But yes, it did not leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah. To be fair, you were right about that. However, he did have several open.
So I guess it wasn't aspiring performance. It was not inspiring. You know, I think they still trust him more than Hooker.
Wait, who? You think trust Sudfeld more?
But maybe they don't trust either. It's a concerning. It's concerning if Goff.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to be very.
I think it's obvious though that Hooker is the better option to give you a chance to win than Sudfeld. Like that's obvious.
Yeah,
you can get bad throws from both of them, but at least Hooker's going to do something with his legs. And like, and it, sometimes it was extending the play and making a play downfield. And I also think his accuracy will improve pretty fairly rapidly as the season progresses. Like if he's getting, especially if he was getting like the one reps, I think you'd see a huge growth from him. Like I think even by the end of camp, he's going to be like a whole different quarterback than what we just saw. Like this is his first full camp and it's only like 2 weeks in. Like, I mean, I didn't expect him to just light the world on fire, but at least he showed some poise. He showed some poise and awareness. You know, his arm, his accuracy wasn't great, but that's all stuff we know he can throw, drop dimes in college. So I still think it was obvious, like painfully obvious, because I think Sudfeld didn't look like a viable quarterback in this league at all.
Yeah, just be like Dante Culpepper to Randy Moss, you know.
J-Mo.
Randy go long, Culpepper throw the ball 70 yards in the air.
Maybe. But, I mean, J-Mo looks and sounds like he is lighting
could
up
go off,
camp.
Go so off.
It's going to be a lot of fun to see him out there. Fun. Especially week one against the Rams.
He'll light the Rams on fire.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, the backup. I just don't think the Lions right now, I don't think their plan, ideally, is to have Hooker as the backup. That's my own. That's my opinion of reading the situation based on how they're kind of utilize him, having him second out there. Also, how they take the long term approach to these positions. If you throw him, if he ends up having him on the field and he struggles, we've seen that a lot where guys come in too early. And it
See,
F's up
I
their
disagree
career,
though, because I don't. Do you so really think that the plan was to just roll forward to the season with Sudfeld as the penciled in backup, with Hooker sitting at third? I figured they
I've been
kind of
saying that though.
They wanted and half expect Hooker to take that job from Sudfeld, and I think he will. But I mean, hey, like that's all to be decided by the players performing.
Well, that's a good point, Rud Dog. These guys got to take it, you know, and that's what Cam and these guys are wanting to do, like with these receivers. Who's going to step up and take it, you know? I mean, and that goes for all the positions. It goes for Hooker,
assumed,
it goes for the receivers.
But I still think Hooker's going to take it. Assuming he can stay healthy, he better work on his slide game.
And Rud Dog, you, Jay, and I touched on it briefly last week, but your thoughts on the kickoff, the new kickoff?
I've only seen a few of them and I don't know, didn't look that exciting, But, I was watching the Lions, so, like, a couple of them weren't even good kicks, so they were just callbacks. I don't know. I'm still, I don't really have a judgment quite yet on it. I think it could still work out well.
Do you like the rule that if it's a touchback, it goes to the 30? If it's short of the 20, then they
if it's, like, the catch zone or something?
Yeah, the catch zone is
yeah.
the end zone to the 20-yard line.
You just can't surprise
onside. No, you can't onside. You can only do it in the fourth quarter, and you have to announce.
That's the automatic, just obvious bad.
And then what everyone moves back to their normal
positions? Yes, I believe so. Yes. But it does stink. You can't do it surprise. It does stink that you can only do it in the fourth quarter, too. You can't, like, say, oh, we're going to get aggressive in the second quarter to do an onside kick.
Oh, Hamilton.
So trying to limit.
Alexander, he
NFL's gonna just take all the fun out of the game.
This could be
Alexander
a 1-year rule.
Was
we'll
a big loser in that game on special teams. Yeah.
Oh, Maurice Alexander.
Oh, he got his he didn't have head wrong a few times. That game. Oh my god!
Put the ball on the ground.
His head was like a freaking pinball. He was getting. Well, he got a concussion that game, but he got nailed a couple times.
Yeah, I mentioned him. Yep, he was the leading wide receiver. That's not saying much in this game, but at least he made some plays.
So what do you think the next game?
I mean, we can talk about it.
So,
I mean, we're not recording for the rest of the week, so this is a good time as any to give our predictions for the Lions' upcoming game on Saturday, August 17th. That is at Kansas City. It will be at 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern on the NFL Network. So you can see it on there if you'd like. It's a rematch of the opening game from last year in the regular season. This is the preseason. I don't have a line on this game. Actually, I do wonder, is there a line? Yes, of course there is. Kansas City is favored by 6.5.
Of course there's a line.
Last year's game, actually, in the regular season. And the over-under is 39.5. The game time weather will be 80 degrees, roughly, for this one. It's nice and
is anyone else just ready for this preseason to be over already?
Nice and hot.
Will Taylor Swift be at the game? I don't think so. I don't think she'll be at this preseason game.
She'd use her power to make the preseason go away.
Does anybody care?
Maybe she'd make it interesting by showing up.
Does that make things interesting?
But,
I don't care.
Either way, so we'll start with you, Rud Dog. What is your prediction for the upcoming game? And good congrats to UJ. The Lions got their preseason.
I think
loss.
The Lions' depth is really just going to come out with their hair on fire and and just destroy the Chiefs' backups. And it's going to be 125-0 of utter dominance.
Hmm.
We're going to cripple their entire backup roster.
Oh, boy. That's a close one, yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, there you have it. 125-0 from Rud Dog.
What do you think, baby?
UJ.
Well, 39 is the over-under. Definitely bet the under. It's going to be another awful preseason game. But I'm going to say the Lions are going to win this one.
Oh, man.
14-7. No. You know what? I'll change that. I want to get a field goal. Let's go 10-7. It's going to be an awful game. Just utterly awful. And but hopefully, you know, we'll get to see some guys step up, which is all we're really looking for. So, 10-7.
I'm not sure if Patrick Mahomes is playing in this one or not. They did
do
play
more
in the first
preseason play
game.
For their ones than a lot of teams do.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Not,
do you think we'll see Goff
not,
or any
maybe
of those
the
guys?
Third one?
Yeah, maybe like the last
one.
Game for a
I don't
series.
Know if we're gonna.
Maybe two.
I actually don't.
There's
think
no reason we didn't last year, did we? Like,
I don't think so.
You know, you're not seeing Gibbs. No. You know, you're not seeing Amon-Ra.
Campbell's
not
a big believer in the.
You're not
preseason
seeing JMO.
Games.
You're not. You're not gonna see Goff. You're not gonna see Sewell. You're not gonna see Decker, Ragnow, any of those guys. You're not gonna see any of the ones.
No.
Porta. No. No risk. Necessary, like they in any way. That's the whole point
no
of these organized, like joint team practices, is because the coaches like it because you can get way deeper reps without risking your quarterback. Like, you can go ones versus ones and go near full speed and get better, like, stuff against each other than in a preseason game where everything's out of control and you take more risk and stuff. You can keep your quarterbacks protected while still sharpening iron versus iron and stuff. And, yeah, no reason whatsoever to risk this all-star lineup in the freaking preseason.
And what's better than going against the defending Super Bowl champs in that
regular season starting, goddammit. No, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 23-17 Lions in this one. I don't know. I just feel like they're going to correct some things and at least come with a
respectable performance.
You're going to
score run for 200 yards.
The Bears are 2-0 in the preseason.
They're dealing with injury for
the Packers and the Vikings also have a preseason victory. We are in last place. In the
seems
division.
Like there's a lot of injuries going on too.
Are you concerned?
You know, Jace.
Concerned. I love it.
Superstition.
This is good news.
Preseason.
This is good news.
Yeah, UJ roots for the Lions
at least
to
one.
Lose.
Hey, 0-16 haunts me to this day.
Preseason.
0-16 haunts me to this day, okay?
We
were 4-0
in preseason,
didn't win
champs.
A freaking game.
Yeah, that was a rough year.
It haunts me. It haunts me, okay?
It's true. It really does.
Damn
I mean,
about
like,
any
look
of these
how much of our
games.
Actual team is out there.
Doesn't
like,
matter.
How many of those guys getting reps in these games are not even going to be on the roster, like the majority of them?
No. And UJ, I don't know if our listeners know this necessarily.
Yeah.
It's like loosely mentioned all the time, but we are actually White Sox fans. We're not Tigers fans. And right now we are witnessing
Epic Fool.
Another sports fan we root for in our life lose historically. this is the White Sox losing the way they are this year is almost arguably worse than the Lions in a lot of ways. The White Sox are flirting with a record from the 1890s. this is over 100 years. I mean, we're approaching Super Bowl 57 this week. So, like, baseball's been around a lot longer to have such a feudal record.
Oh.
Hey, Super Bowl 57, did you say?
Oh.
When's the last time?
Oh, my God. Is it really hitting the century mark
57?
For real?
I want to confirm it's 57.
You know,
it's 59. Oh, it's 59. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, 59. You don't have to confirm. It's 57.
Isn't it?
No. Wrong. You're wrong. 57. You are wrong, Z. They traded Bobby Lane at the 57 season.
The Super Bowl numbers.
Then I was born. They haven't won anything.
I'm saying you're wrong about the history of the Lions.
He's corrected himself.
I said I was wrong.
No, 57. You said 57.
Yeah, so it's 59.
Damn,
sorry,
man,
I'm
all excited about that, too.
Sorry to get you excited, UJ. The Lions should have won 2 years ago. I guess
this is where you go put like a TikTok out or a reel to like confuse people and make them think there's some meaningful connection.
All right, so I think we're gonna wrap it up here.
Oh well,
I don't think was there anything else mentioned. I know you said UJ that Matt Stafford is choosing just to completely not root for the Lions anymore or show any like
coward
goodwill towards the Detroit Lions franchise.
That's what I read.
He definitely isn't.
Was it true? I don't know.
Like,
the mainstream media
lies
all the time.
Positive feelings.
I'm glad.
For the Lions these days.
It's good. I was so sick of that huggy wuggy lovey dovey bullshit with Stafford after he left us. We rooted him down to a Super Bowl.
He got butthurt last year. He got butthurt last year.
And then they're making up
really
stories about
that playoff box.
I'm happy for the players.
Kelly Stafford came out and said she tried to make her husband, Matt Stafford, jealous by dating the backup quarterback on the team. She said
it's, you know why? It's because they made a deal with the devil, and now they're paying for it.
I just say in college that happened, not the NFL. Not when they were married in the NFL. It was just a very bizarre story.
Stafford's feeling
that she initiated unprompted.
He's finally feeling the pain of his betrayal. That's all. And it's making him angry at himself.
Well, let's hope he's angry after week one when the Lions are facing
on
Sunday Night Football.
When they chant Jared Goff into his head for hours, it's going to be great.
Another winner for the preseason game before we wrap up here. The Lions' new unis. I thought
they
looked awesome.
Good.
They look very clean. I like Detroit on the front, too.
They look
good. Seeing it live in person.
Oh, of course.
Can I tell you the one annoying thing? That thing's annoying. Stickler. Because you know how I am about uniforms. I'm a stickler for these things, you know. But that helmet, they got that one little thin white stripe down the middle. What the hell's that about? Why did they have to put that there? That one little thin white stripe down the middle of the blue stripe. Why? Like, who? Someone had to contribute and they had to let him do something, you know? Like, all right, you do something. Put a white stripe on that. That's dumb.
They had that white stripe.
But other than that, the uniforms are awesome.
To
they
look really Bob cool. Ireland, he was a longtime janitor for the Lions, and the last thing he wanted on his deathbed of painful cancer was to have the white stripe put on the helmet. How do you feel now?
What are you talking
about? I'm angry.
I feel like we've hit that point, Z, and you've let us run for longer than normal before you say that.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to.
We hit the bottom of the barrel and we've run right out the tap.
On that note. Anyways,
yes, we're going to. So, on that note, we will wrap it up here on Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We want to first, of course, and foremost, thank our producer,
Kid J.
We want to thank SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Greatly appreciate them. Spotify, Apple, we're going to podcast. Please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. We greatly appreciate that as well. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, or if you are listening on a podcast and you want to subscribe, go to or just search at DTBK_Lions, or just type Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on YouTube. Subscribe. I'd love to see you on there as well. We'll have some live streams coming up in the future. Maybe on Monday nights after the game or something like that. We have some plans coming up, and we'll share that schedule with you soon when we'll be recording during the season as we closer to it. Other than that, you know, just I hope everybody has a great rest of your week. It's mid-August. Enjoy your free time while you got it, because football is right around the corner, at least with your families, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because my wife told my son, like, oh, say bye-bye to your dad in 3 weeks.
What are you saying? He's going to be sitting on your knee, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying to play catch with him right now.
Yeah, the ball just keeps hitting him in the face because he's
loosely understanding the concept of, like, catching the ball.
Once it hits him in the face enough times, it's just.
He laughs when I hit him in the face with it, honestly. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Anyways, we will wrap it up here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.